You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. And we return here. It is Thursday, crossover Thursday, on Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher here with you. And in our second and third segments, we will be talking with James Rapine of Locked On Bengals about both the Bengals and the Ravens for their upcoming Week 17 matchup. It's not a do-or-die situation for the Ravens, but I think it's pretty close, because the Ravens, the easiest scenario for them to get into the playoffs is for them to win, and they're into the playoffs. There are still scenarios where Baltimore does get into the postseason if they lose, but they have to win this game just for morale purposes, for momentum purposes, and for playoff purposes. So we'll talk about the Bengals and the Ravens in the second and the third segments. But here today in this first segment, I do want to talk about a bit of news that has come up for Baltimore, both on the injury front, the coronavirus front, and the transaction wire for this Baltimore Ravens team. So I think we'll start off with the injury report, because the coronavirus and the injuries kind of go hand in hand, just because the injury report came out at the same time. The news about the Ravens coronavirus situation, their newest coronavirus situation, came out in a matter of minutes afterwards. So we'll talk about that first, and then we'll get into the transaction news, or the presumed transaction news, for this Baltimore Ravens team. So with all that being said, we'll jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We're there waiting for you Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens, and my personal account at ChaosShaker34 for any Ravens news, analysis, updates, historical perspectives, live game tweets, and much more. Just for perspective, is a little, if you're listening, you get this information first, as I might be putting out a hype video for Week 17 for this win and in situation for Baltimore in these next coming days, either today or tomorrow. Who knows when it'll be? So be sure to follow ChaosShaker34 and Locked On Ravens on Twitter. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here, and let's start off with the injury and coronavirus news for the Baltimore Ravens. So Wednesday's injury report, I did prepare people on Twitter, at least I tried to, and I said, look, the Ravens injury report on Wednesday is probably going to be really, really ugly, just because of the amount of injuries Baltimore had sustained in the Ravens win over the New York Giants in Week 16, the lingering injuries some players have had, such as Marcus Peters and Jimmy Smith. So we'll go through the whole injury report here and just talk about each injury just a tiny, tiny bit in what it means for the team. So Orlando Brown Jr. was not injury related. He did not participate. I don't know if this has any relation to the coronavirus news for Baltimore, if he is potentially a close contact or whatnot, but the Orlando Brown thing is interesting. So we'll understand a little bit more about that in the coming days. Maybe this is just a veteran day for him, but I don't know. I don't know about that one. So we'll see. Calais Campbell did not participate with calf and not injury-related matters, so he's just getting a veteran day, I think. I think that's for Calais Campbell. His calf is still healing. He's not 100%, although not a lot of people are at this point in this season, so hopefully he'll be good to go for Sunday, and he'll be healthy enough to where it won't risk re-injury. That's been the case for him over the past couple of weeks, I think, maybe outside of Jacksonville. Marlon Humphrey, knee and shoulder, did not participate. This one is a little worrisome. Marlon Humphrey did go down in that New York Giants game, where Baltimore is able to win, but at the expense of a few injuries here, Marlon Humphrey being the first of those. So being able to have Marlon Humphrey on the field is obviously a huge boost for the Ravens. They've been very thin at the cornerback position, and save for Humphrey missing that one game against the Colts being on the COVID list, he's been pretty durable and in there for Baltimore. Mark Ingram did not participate with an illness. I think this is just a veteran day. Sam Cook, not injury related. This is the coronavirus news. It's kind of sandwiched in the middle of the injury report, so we'll talk about it now. Sam Cook was placed on the reserve COVID list for the Ravens. His test results came in, and they were inconclusive. It was an inconclusive result for Sam Cook on Wednesday. So he goes on the coronavirus list. He did not participate in practice. Now, if this yields a positive result, obviously Sam Cook cannot come back for 10 days, or I think when he's feeling asymptomatic, I think it might be 5 days and 2 negative tests. I don't know exactly how it works, but if you have a positive test, you're done for an extended period of time. And if this goes into close contact territory, it's cutting it very close to Sam Cook potentially not playing in this game against Cincinnati, which we saw against Jacksonville. The Jaguars did not have a punter because he had an illness and he did not travel with the team. So Sam Cook might be in the same situation. We might be seeing Justin Tucker as the Ravens punter for this game. So hopefully Cook, he returns some negative tests and he'll be able to play. But we did see the whole scenario with Dez Bryant and his inconclusive test, and he was out for 2 weeks. So hopefully Sam Cook does not suffer that same fate. Patrick McCurry with a back injury, he did not participate. This one is concerning just because Matt Skura has honestly been the worst offensive lineman on the Ravens roster this season. He cannot snap the ball properly, unfortunately. He gets beat on a lot of his assignments, too. It just has not been the year I think a lot of people were expecting for Matt Skura. So I would personally, if Patrick McCurry misses some time here, start Tristan Colon-Castillo, even though he is just a rookie and has only played in one other game. But that's just me. McCurry is somebody who has been very good over the last couple of weeks and somebody who I hope the Ravens do get back. Yannick Ngakoue with a thigh injury, he did not participate in practice on Wednesday. It's going to be interesting to see if the Ravens ultimately decide to rest Ngakoue. He is somebody who has been very good for Baltimore, even though the stats have not caught up with him yet. He had a nice game a few weeks ago against Jacksonville, but he's somebody who has been a very good contributor to the Ravens team. We'll see how he ends up working out for this week against Cincinnati. Jimmy Smith with ribs and shoulder, he did not participate. Smith is a huge part of the Ravens defense, but every single year it just seems like he cannot stay on the field healthy, so hopefully he'll be able to come back, or maybe the Ravens do just decide to rest him until the playoffs. Willie Snead with an ankle injury, he did not participate. Snead went down kind of awkwardly on a big catch he made against the Giants in the first half, I believe it was, and we didn't really see a lot of him after, so hopefully Snead is all right and ready to roll on Sunday. And then finally, a bit of good news here, Marcus Peters with a calf injury. He returned to practice. He was a limited participant. It seems like Peters, the reports that have come out are like, he's so close to playing every week, and now that we're seeing him return to practice, I think that is very good for his prospects of playing on Sunday. So that was the Ravens' long injury report for Wednesday. A bunch of big names on there, but some name to keep an eye on here for the Ravens on the transaction wire is safety Jayron Kearse. Kearse is going to apparently sign with the Ravens practice squad once he goes through COVID protocols, and Kearse is somebody who gives the Ravens much needed safety depth. And for the Ravens, we saw Deshaun Elliott goes down with an injury in week 16 against the Giants. And what happens? The Ravens don't have a ton of safeties active. They don't have a ton on the roster. Geno Stone was claimed by the Houston Texans on Tuesday, so he is now off of their roster. They do have Nigel Warrior on the practice squad, but some NFL experience here is big. Kearse is somebody who was cut by the Lions for violating team rules, apparently. Those are the rumors that have come out. Daryl Bevel, the Lions interim head coach, refused to comment on those rumors, but the rumors are it was a violation of team rules. So Kearse gets out on the free agent market. He's going to sign with the Ravens practice squad if all goes well regarding COVID protocols. Now, Kearse is actually somebody who the Ravens really need. Again, Deshaun Elliott goes down with that injury in week 16. What happens? The Ravens have to bring in Jordan Richards, who was a great special teamer, but is not known for his play at safety. And what do they do with Jordan Richards? They put him literally on the moon. They said, Jordan Richards, you go back 25, 30 yards, make sure nothing gets past you, be our last line of defense. Don't overthink things. And so that's what they were doing there. For the Ravens, we saw that role with Marcus Gilchrist quite a bit, where they kind of put him on the moon and on an island out there. He was their deep safety. They did that with Jordan Richards. And now with Kearse coming in, Kearse is actually somebody who is above replacement level, and he's actually a really good free agent at this time of the year. To be able to pick up a guy like Jayron Kearse this late in the season for the playoff run, and even potentially for next season if the Ravens view him as valuable depth, This is a great move for the Ravens in his career. Kearse has played in 73 games with both the Vikings and the Lions, has started 12 of them, 138 tackles for Kearse, one interception, one forced fumble, and one fumble recovery for Kearse, as well as half a sack back in 2018. So very versatile. He's known for being able to cover running backs and tight ends out of the backfield. That is something Baltimore would love to have against guys like Travis Kelce, potentially Eric Ebron, Dawson Knox, Jonnu Smith. Those are all big qualities to have. So the ideal role for Kearse is that backup safety. You can put him in there in three safety looks. You can give Elliott and Clark breaks. Those are the types of things the Ravens need right now. They are very thin at safety, and Kearse gives them a viable option as a backup. So I think this is a phenomenal move. You're able to call him up off the practice squad. Again, this is like an audition for Kearse. If he's able to come out there and perform well, Baltimore might have found a good one. But again, it's no harm, no foul if things don't work out. So Jayron Kearse expected to sign with the Ravens practice squad. I think it's a phenomenal move. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, James Rapine of Locked On Bengals will be joining us, and we will be talking with him about the Ravens and the Bengals, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. The NFL regular season is finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clearer. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher here with you. And we're now going to get into Crossover Thursday with James Rapine of Locked On Bengals. So without any further ado, let's jump right in.
Kevin, I appreciate the time as always. This first matchup, the first matchup between these two teams was obviously ugly. A lot of injuries on the Bengals spectrum. You're not going to see Joe Burrow this round. No Joe Mixon this round. So some guys out that the Ravens saw last time. But it didn't matter then, and I'm not sure it's going to matter now. Let's start here. The Bengals have won two straight. Are people in Baltimore optimistic? Are they already looking ahead to who the Ravens are going to play in the wild card round of the postseason? What are fans thinking right now? What's the mood like going into this week, a road matchup against a four-win Bengals team?
Yeah, James, the mood in Baltimore right now, I think, has to be excitement from a lot of fans. There was a chance that Baltimore misses the playoffs at 11-5, or at least were going to miss the playoffs at 11-5. They would have been the third team ever since 1978 to do so when the NFL implemented that 16 or 17 game schedule. And for the Ravens, that would have just been a nightmare because they go to 6-5. They play good football. They're arguably one of the hottest teams in the NFL. And to miss the playoffs after doing all that, after coming back, it would have been a nightmare. So right now, I think some people are looking ahead, and in the NFL, you just can't do that. You can't do that against NFL talent. We've seen what the Jets have done 2 weeks in a row. We've seen the Bengals play really good football over the past 2 weeks, too, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. And James, Ravens Nation was right up there with Bengals Nation in terms of how happy they were that happened. And there was just a lot of jubilation in Baltimore just because the Ravens now, if they win, they're in. And I know a lot of fans in Baltimore look back to 2017 and they see the Tyler Boyd 4th-and-12 play and it gives them nightmares and flashbacks. But I think this team is just a bit different. Obviously, with Brandon Allen in there instead of Joe Burrow, it should be a different game. But one of the Ravens' weaknesses on defense, at least earlier in the season, was, you know, just how they defend screens, how they defend the quick passes. And Brandon Allen, it seems the pass game with him is a bit of a quick hitting one. So for the fans in Baltimore, they are excited for the chance to make the playoffs. This team has dealt with the coronavirus, has dealt with injuries, as every team has with injuries. And they really didn't play as well as they probably could have and should have earlier in the season. But now they're in the position to earn the right to go to the playoffs. And that has everyone in Baltimore excited.
I get it. I totally get it. I think that's where Bengals fans hope to be next year. As far as Lamar Jackson goes, and when you think of the Ravens, they obviously begin and end with the reigning MVP. I know he was a little dinged up in week five and the Bengals contained him. And I say that in quotes to like 3 yards. I think it had more to do with the Ravens game plan of protecting him than anything. Is he healthy? It seems like it, given the offensive outputs that we've seen out of the Ravens in recent weeks. And if so, what's different? What's changed for this offense over the past few games?
Yeah, James, Lamar Jackson, I think, has just found himself. You mentioned that last matchup with Cincinnati where the Ravens and Bengals clashed. The Ravens win 27-3. Lamar Jackson, 2 carries for 3 yards. He was not utilized in the run game. The Ravens offense earlier in the season, I think the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Greg Roman, they were trying to force the football a little bit down the field. They were trying to, I think, be an offense that they just weren't. And over these last 4 weeks, the Ravens have gone 4-0. They've been phenomenal on the offensive side of the ball. And part of that is just because they've gotten back to what they are good at, and that is running the football. Now, that's not to say they're not good throwing the football, but when Baltimore's run offense works like it does, and when it's hitting on all cylinders, it opens up the play action game. It opens up RPOs. It opens up the pass game in the middle of the field. Lamar Jackson is also starting to throw outside the numbers a bit. And that is important because the whole field starts to open up for Lamar Jackson. A big point in this game against Cincinnati back all those months ago, it seems, is that Mark Ingram led this team with 11 carries for 57 yards. Mark Ingram, over the last couple of weeks, has been a healthy inactive because he just was not getting it done. And J.K. Dobbins in this game only had 1 carry for 34 yards. Dobbins has pretty much ascended to the lead back role. He's been phenomenal. And Gus Edwards has been his change of pace, but it's really a 1-2 combination. And along with that, along with the Ravens' offensive line that has lost Ronnie Stanley, they've lost Nick Boyle, who is one of the best, if not the best, blocking tight ends in the league. They've put together this makeshift offensive line. They moved right tackle Orlando Brown to the left side. They're doing a bunch of different things. And they are playing lights out right now. So when you have that offensive line blocking, both opening up rushing lanes and making clear pockets for Lamar Jackson, I think everything is just clicking right now. And the Ravens are really hot right now on offense.
And they're going to be really, really tough to contain. The Bengals faced a similar quarterback. I say similar because he can move and stuff. And Deshaun Watson last week. And it was the first time they had gotten beaten up and chiseled like that since, I think, week 10. So it's certainly a different aspect and a different dynamic anytime you're facing Lamar Jackson. Let me ask you about one more player on offense and a guy that I think everyone knows in fantasy leagues or from fantasy, but Marquise Brown. He's a guy that got off to a slow start, voiced some frustration. I know Lamar had some struggles with the deep ball, but just from a fantasy aspect, he's been much more productive. And I say that from experience because I have him in a few spots. How is he in Lamar's chemistry right now? Is this a guy that the Bengals cornerback room, whether it's William Jackson or someone else, they're going to have to really keep an eye on?
I think so, James. And the story with Marquise Brown earlier in the year, you mentioned it. He struggled. And I think a lot of it came just from, I think he put big expectations upon himself, as I think most players do and should. They expect a lot out of themselves, and Marquise Brown certainly has the talent to be a great wide receiver in this league, but he struggled with drops, he struggled with separation, his effort was questioned, and I think that all kind of came together in Week 14 against Cleveland, where he dropped 3 passes, and then, as everybody knows it, Lamar Jackson leaves the game with cramps, comes back to the field. In the first play, he airs that ball out to Marquise Brown, and he secures it for the touchdown, and I think that play, literally by itself, gave Marquise Brown confidence. And over the past 2 weeks, he has looked phenomenal. He's been almost reborn in this Baltimore offense. He's putting in effort now. He's coming down with some catches. It's not all perfect, although for any player it's not. But with Marquise Brown, he brings a speed aspect. His route running has gotten better. He hasn't dropped passes ever since that Cleveland game. And so, it's a small sample size. It's only been one play from one game and then 2 other games. But that momentum has been enough to help Lamar Jackson's chemistry with Brown get back to what it was. And with the Ravens, I think, again, it all goes back to the run game. Those running plays, and if you're chunking out the defense on run plays, it's opening up the field for Marquise Brown. We saw a deep shot from Lamar Jackson to Marquise Brown against Jacksonville. And those are the types of plays the Ravens need. It's those outside the number plays. And Lamar Jackson, the book on Lamar Jackson, or at least what people say the book is if you can take away the middle of the field and force him to throw outside, you win the game because he can't do it. But he has improved in that aspect, and part of it is because receivers like Marquise Brown, like Dez Bryant, who's been a very nice late season addition, are stepping up. So with Marquise Brown, the Bengals should certainly keep an eye on him because, no, he hasn't had the season, or at least even the career, is his fellow counterparts in that wide receiver draft, such as A.J. Brown or D.K. Metcalf. But he is still filling a role for Baltimore that's a really big one and really helps this offense.
Kevin, let's switch gears. Talk about the defense. And this defense obviously confused Joe Burrow. We were talking about it before we were recording. It was the first time Burrow looked like a rookie. this season, way back in week five. Obviously, he won't be out there, but you're getting a quarterback in Brandon Allen who threw for over 300 yards, completed 70% or more of his passes in each of his last two games, is playing pretty well right now. How is the Ravens defense playing? Because I think this is going to be a huge, huge test to the Zach Taylor backers who think that he may have figured something out on offense because they've been more productive in recent weeks. And then obviously the Brandon Allen crowd, because the Ravens defense is much, much tougher. Is that still the case? I assume it would be. But what's the state of that group right now?
Yeah, James, the Ravens defense has been absolutely decimated by injuries. And it's been a thing where they've had guys go out. They've then had those guys come back and then other guys go out. It's just been almost a revolving door in all aspects ever since, honestly, week two, where Tavon Young, the Ravens slot corner, one of the best slot corners who I think not a lot of people have heard of, is lost for the year. The third time in 5 years he's had a season-ending injury, he tore his ACL. So with the Ravens, they've had guys like Calais Campbell miss significant amount of time, someone who was supposed to reshape and reform that defense. Marcus Peters and Jimmy Smith have missed time. The Ravens, I think Marlon Humphrey is the only cornerback who has played in every game for the Ravens except for one. He missed one game with coronavirus, but the Ravens have just been decimated at the cornerback position. The story for the Ravens is they go and they bring in, you know, they have a nice amount of corners. People will say it's 50 million corners they start with, and they end the season with probably three because the cornerback position just gets decimated. So now with Calais Campbell coming back, and he appears to be closer to full strength now, Marcus Peters returned to practice yesterday. He hopefully will be back for this game against Cincinnati. Jimmy Smith is a huge part of this defense. The Ravens defense, albeit with all that stuff happening, has been performing pretty well, although at times they sincerely struggle. They have an issue with putting together a full 60 minutes of football. They play lights out in the first half, for example. They get up big, the offense scores points, and then the defense, they let the foot up off the gas, and they let an offense drive down the field. They'll have bad quarters, bad possessions. Penalties have been an issue for this defense as well. Offsides, there's roughing the passer. The defense, the execution is there. The pass rush also struggles at times. Matthew Judon has come on as of late. He is somebody who the Ravens need to come on. He leads this team with six sacks. Calais Campbell is next in line with four. And Yannick Ngakoue has been a pleasant addition to this Ravens defense. The stats haven't been there for him, but he has been disrupting quarterbacks each and every week, even if he's not getting them on the ground. So the Ravens defense, the depth is there, the performance is there, and the talent is there. It's just a matter of them putting together good football for 60 minutes.
We'll switch gears, talk about the Bengals on the other side of this Locked On Bengals, Locked On Ravens crossover.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with six new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to visit BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return with another segment of this Locked On Bengals and Locked On Ravens crossover. Kevin Ostreicher from Locked On Ravens here with James Rapine from Locked On Bengals. And James, I think the big storyline in this one for the Ravens, it has to be if the Ravens win this game, if they can pull off a victory here in Week 17 against Cincinnati, they are into the playoffs. And for the Ravens, that's really important. And it's not the only way they can make the postseason, but it's obviously the easiest scenario for them. But I do want to go back to the game, James, the 27-3 victory the Ravens had against Cincinnati. It seems like forever ago, the Ravens moved to 4-1. With that game, the Bengals fell to 1-3-1. The Bengals, their only points came on a Randy Bullock field goal with about 32 seconds left in the game. So starting off with the offense, and obviously Joe Burrow won't be the quarterback in this one, but what do you think went wrong for the Bengals in this game?
Oh, everything. I mean, everything from the coaching staff and their game plan to obviously the offensive line. And then the thing that had kind of hidden their flaw, specifically in the trenches in that offensive line, was Joe Burrow and his ability to process and read defenses. And he did it from day one of camp, and he did it week one, week two, week three, week four. And we saw him confused in week five against the Ravens. And that was a really big difference in the game. He looked, that was his almost his welcome to the NFL moment. He had some welcome to the NFL hits earlier than that, But I think that was a welcome to the NFL moment for him. And that's the bummer about this weekend, Kevin, is I think it would be good for Burrow to see this defense again, to go up against the Ravens again. And as big of a bummer as it is for him to have to rehab and all that stuff, and it's going to be awful, 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 I think the thing we don't talk about enough is the experience he misses with going up against the Ravens again. Obviously, he didn't get to face Pittsburgh again, two teams that he's going to be expected to not only compete with but beat in the coming seasons, and he won't get that chance. Instead, it'll be Brandon Allen on Sunday.
Yeah, James, and let's talk about Brandon Allen here. He's performed pretty admirably in his four games that he has played in. He's completed 84 of 121 passes for 877 yards, five touchdowns, and two interceptions. How impressed or not impressed have you been with Brandon Allen watching him play over these last couple of weeks and whenever he is in the game for them? And what do you expect he brings to the table against this Baltimore defense?
He's really surprised me. I mean, specifically last week against, and I'll preface it by saying the Texans defense, I'm not sure if any of those guys would start besides maybe J.J. Watt, I guess, for the Ravens, right? I mean, it would be really tough to find some starters on that defense. So it's a major difference in competition. But Allen has been extremely accurate. He's completing over 70% of his passes in his last two games. He's thrown five touchdowns. And the key to me, or three touchdowns over that span. And the key to me, Kevin, is the fact that he hasn't turned it over. And that's going to be the tough part here against Baltimore, because we know what they're going to do. They're going to be complex. They're going to blitz. They're really going to try to get after him. And the offensive line doesn't have Jonah Williams this week. So you're going to start a guy in Fred Johnson who's young. He's played a little bit better. And I think there are some fans out there that have watched the Bengals offense the past couple of weeks and said, oh, the offensive line's playing better because they've had success on offense. And that to me isn't the case. They ran a lot of screens last week against Houston. Obviously, there wasn't a ton of a pass rush there. J.J. Watt was still getting to Brandon Allen at times. But when it's just one edge rusher, you can scheme around that. And that's what the Bengals did. And they were able to. And I think it's going to be much, much different for Brandon Allen this week against the Ravens, who obviously they come at you in layers and disguise blitzes and things like that. So I like where Allen is, and I think he's really playing for the backup job next season, the way he's playing. So he has a lot on the line. He's a free agent to be. He didn't realize he was going to be in this spot when he signed with the Bengals practice squad before the season started, but here he is, and he's got an opportunity to really kind of cement his status in the NFL, I think, because if he can – He's played in four games. The past two games, like I said, he's played great. The Bengals are 1-3. If he even has a good showing this week against Baltimore, I think he's going to be in the league somewhere as a backup next season, and he very well could stick around in Cincinnati to back up Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he's certainly playing that way, and he could be a backup in this league. He's showing that he is a capable NFL quarterback. But James, moving on to the Cincinnati run game, in the 27-3 win the Ravens had against Cincinnati earlier in the year, the Ravens held the Bengals to 2.5 yards per carry. Joe Mixon had 24 carries for 59 yards. That with himself is a 2.5 yards per carry average. Now, obviously, Mixon has not played in a very long time, and he is not going to play in this game. But the Bengals have had a couple of contributors step up in the names of Giovanni Bernard, Samaje Perine, Trevion Williams. Those are all guys who have helped the Bengals kind of offset that loss of Joe Mixon, who is a very good running back. So what do you expect this Bengals team to do rushing-wise against the Ravens defense, and how do you expect the personnel to shake out?
Oh, I think they'll begin and end with Giovanni Bernard, but Samaje Perine really played well last week, and that's the guy that I would keep an eye on because maybe they try to ride him a bit. He ran tough. He ran through some arm tackles, had a big touchdown run to really get things started against Houston in that second half, which really propelled them to the win over Deshaun Watson, who was just amazing. He played great last week. And so that's what I would say is I think Gio's obviously going to get the start, but Samaje Perine might end up with more carries. You might see more of him, and especially if he runs the way he did last week. Because, again, the offensive line, it's more consistent in a sense of personnel, but I don't think they're necessarily better than they've been throughout this year. And so the reason they're running the ball better, I think it's scheme, and they're really trying to hide what they do wrong, which is a lot when it comes to the trenches. And then the other thing is these running backs are making plays, and that's sort of the key. And the other thing I would say, if I'm the Ravens, that I would look out for in general, and it's an extension of the run game. And they did well. They did this well against the Bengals in round one, in game one, is the quick passing game. I think Brandon Allen's going to try to, you know, have some screens lined up, have some quick slants, quick passes, just to try to get into a rhythm. He was 5 for 5 on their opening drive last week, and I don't think he threw a ball more than 6 or 7 yards downfield. It was screens and easy dump off passes. And then later in the game, he was able to stretch the field and push the ball down the field. So if you're the Ravens, if you could just slow down this running game, you know, limit it. And I don't think that's necessarily a huge challenge. And then two, take away the short passing game. I think you're in good shape. And it's been much easier said than done. The Pittsburgh Steelers will tell you that. But I certainly think they're capable of doing so.
Yeah, James, this running game, if the Ravens are able to knock that out of the Bengals' arsenal, make them a one-dimensional offense, it'll sincerely help the Ravens' defense. I mean, it would help any defense because it makes that opposing offense one-dimensional. Now, in terms of the Bengals' pass-catching weapons, James, obviously Bernard presents a bit of a weapon himself in the pass game, but this team is led by T. Higgins, who I was in love with during the 2020 draft process. He has 67 receptions for 908 yards and 6 scores. But I think someone I want to focus in on right now is A.J. Green, because I think it's arguable to say that he might be playing his last game as a Cincinnati Bengal in Week 17 against Baltimore here. He has 47 receptions for 523 yards and 2 scores. I know he started the season really slow for Cincinnati, but has since been a pretty big contributor to the Bengals offense. Just looking back on all, for the Ravens fans, it's bad times with A.J. Green because his nickname here is the Raven Killer. Just how much has A.J. Green meant to the Bengals organization, especially, you know, with this maybe being his last game in Cincinnati?
He's been the franchise. And I don't want to, I'm not trying to over-glorify it or anything like that, but man, I'm not even sure Andy Dalton gets a second contract in the NFL without A.J. Green. And maybe not a second contract in the NFL, put it like this, not $100 million starting quarterback contract in the NFL. I think Andy's an NFL quarterback. Let me be clear. But I think number 18 has been, he's arguably the best wide receiver in Bengals history. Certainly guy after the Ravens more than any wide receiver in Bengals history, and just a prime time performer and a guy that does all the right things, says all the right things. And in really that Week 5 game where he kind of came out and it was awkward, right? It was a weird situation after the interception. I think that was kind of the turning point in the year for AJ. And if things do end on Sunday, as far as his time with the Bengals, then I think people will remember him fondly. And I still think he is capable. I think part of it's offensive play calling and obviously not gelling in this system. And look, the coaching staff, they pick T. Higgins. They want T to thrive. So they're going to set up T to thrive and put him in positions to win. And I think that's the reality. Yeah, A.J. Green might have taken a step back, but I don't think it's all on A.J. Green. And if he does go elsewhere, he will be successful. And the last thing on Green, he's one touchdown away from tying Chad Johnson's franchise record of 66 receiving touchdowns. So if Sunday is it, I hopefully see Brandon Allen find a way to get the ball to AJ in the red zone and maybe Zach Taylor draw up or some kind of scheme play to get him one more touchdown. Because look, the Ravens are playing for something. They're not going to just gift him a touchdown, but it certainly would be nice if he could get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, if that touchdown comes in a 30-14 win for the Ravens, I would be happy to have A.J. Green score that touchdown to be in the record books with Chad Johnson. But just to be able to have someone in a franchise like an A.J. Green, someone who's meant so much to a franchise, I agree, James. A.J. Green, if he does go elsewhere, if he re-signs with the Bengals, I think it'll be a better year for him in 2021 if he does decide to keep playing, which I think he will. I think he is still very capable, like you said. But moving on to the Bengals defense, James, I think this is where I want to end. The Bengals defense is going to have a tough task in stopping Lamar Jackson. The Ravens were able to do a lot of things with him. And looking at this game from Week 5, James, Lamar Jackson, again, 2 carries for 3 yards, but he did complete 19 of 37 passes for 180 yards, 2 touchdowns, and did have an interception. So it wasn't a perfect day for Lamar Jackson by any means. But James, how has this Bengals defense looked ever since that game? And who are one or two players that maybe Ravens fans might not know about, maybe unsung heroes on that Bengals defense to look out for on Sunday?
They've played better in really outside of last week against Houston, and a lot of it had to do with just Deshaun Watson being Deshaun Watson, right? Which, you know, Lamar is capable of doing the same thing. But they've been really good over the past month and a half, and really since Burrow went down. Entering last Sunday's game, they had held four of their last five opponents under 20 points or 20 points or less. And the one game that they hadn't was Dallas, and it was because the offense had three fumbles on their first three possessions. So it really set them up and put them in a really bad spot in a 37 loss to the Cowboys a few weeks back. But overall, I think they're playing better. They're shorthanded. No Geno Atkins, no DJ Reader. They might not have William Jackson. He's in concussion protocol right now. I would assume they don't have him, which is obviously a game changer when you're talking about a Marquise Brown or someone like that that has that downfield speed. Jackson can run with those guys, but outside of that, some of these other corners probably can't, and the drop-off is pretty significant. So that's something worth noting. As far as someone to watch and a guy to kind of steer clear of, I think he's been the best safety in the NFL this year. It's Jesse Bates. He's been amazing, and he's really, outside of maybe a week here, week there, he's been their best player on defense, and so that's certainly a guy to pay attention to. And then the other one, and I think it goes without saying, is Carl Lawson, the defensive end, who's going to be a free agent. He would love to get another sack or two on that stat sheet before he hits free agency potentially. And I would assume the Bengals franchise tag him at least, but that's another guy worth noting. And who knows? I mean, I think that if this defense is going to be able to compete, they're going to have to force turnovers, and Lawson will play a factor in that, Jesse Bates. And then I'll give you one more. If William Jackson III is out, and even if he's not, you're going to see a lot of them. Darius Phillips has great ball skills. He's a guy I think should be on punt returns as it is. He's not. They've been putting him at corner, and that's it on defense. And he is a guy that's at any moment is capable of making a play on the ball and taking it back for six. He's got that game-changing type of speed and those ball skills in coverage. So that's another guy to look out for at corner.
The Bengals certainly have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball, and this is a team that the Ravens cannot take lightly. James, I think this is going to be a good game, but in the end, I do think Baltimore does pull out a win. How do you think this one goes?
I lean that way as well. I think that Baltimore needs this. They're not going to take the Bengals lightly by any stretch. At the same time, it wouldn't shock me. Last I saw, the spread on BetOnline was 11. Wouldn't shock me at all if the Bengals cover that. If they keep it within a one-score game and it's much more competitive, you know, I could see 22-14 or you know, 21-13, and then maybe the Ravens score late or something like that. So I could see that. I could also see a blowout. But I think the smart money is on the Ravens this week straight up.
Yeah, I think it'll kind of be in the middle of a close game and a blowout. Two possessions, maybe like a 17-point win for Baltimore. But again, if the Ravens come out sloppy, if the Ravens don't give the Bengals the respect they deserve, this could easily, the Ravens could still win, but it could be a 3-7 point win for the Ravens. They could also lose. There's a lot of possibilities. This is a week-to-week league, the NFL is. But James, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for joining me and doing a crossover here between the Ravens and the Bengals, and I'm looking forward to a good game on Sunday.
Oh, I can't wait. It's I'm just glad we got through 17 weeks, Kevin. So it's great, and good luck to your Ravens this weekend and with the rest of the year.
It's always great talking to James, hearing his insight on the Bengals and giving him some insight on the Ravens. I expect it to be a good game on Sunday, but at the end of the day, I think Baltimore does pull out the win. But that's all that I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow, it's more Ravens talk, of course. We'll be getting into our game preview, the final game preview of the 2020 regular season, getting into the game between the Ravens and the Bengals. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.